You're listening to the Skift podcast. Today, we feature a conversation that took place on stage at the inaugural Skift India Summit this week in New Delhi, India. For more like this, visit live.skift.com to learn how you can attend our next industry-defining live event. Enjoy the conversation.
And now, please welcome CEO and Managing Director of the Oberoi Group, Vikram Oberoi, in discussion with Skift Senior Hospitality Editor, Sean O'Neill.
So nobody knows luxury the way Oberoi knows luxury. And I think as everyone here understands and knows, Oberoi, the brand, was picked as the world's best hotel brand by Travel and Leisure. And we're honored to have Mr. Vikram Oberoi with us. Thank you, Vikram, for being here.
Thanks, Sean. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
So is it true that you were born and like spent early years in a hotel? Or?
Yes, I was. I actually was born in Calcutta. At that time, we had the Oberoi Grand. I lived there for a number of years, and then we opened the Oberoi New Delhi, and that was, in fact, in partnership with Intercontinental in those days.
Intercontinental in those days.
Yeah, and so it was called the Oberoi Intercontinental, and we moved there in the mid-1960s. And so the first 10 years of my life was spent in a hotel.
First 10 years of your life in a hotel, it's like really having hospitality in your blood. Yes.
Yeah, no, it's something that I deeply enjoy. I think we should only do what our passions are. And I'm blessed that I can work with great people. I love what I do. I couldn't ask for anything more.
Wonderful.
So I'm quite fortunate.
Wonderful. Well, I'd like to first start talking about the portfolio and growth at Oberoi Group. So Oberoi Group has about 30 properties today. 19 of those are branded Oberoi, 10 are branded Trident, which is another luxury brand, and you have a few others. So that portfolio of 30 is not that different from what you had, say, in 2010. It's a little bit bigger. But you announced in November your Vision 2030 plan. So what is that?
Yeah, well, you know, before I talk about our growth, I think if I could just say why growth is important for us.
Please.
And there are three reasons for that. One is, of course, when guests travel, we want guests to be able to stay at our hotels if they're loyal to either one of our brands. So we need to be in locations where they travel to, certainly in India and maybe in key geographies overseas. The second is that we attracting, retaining, and growing talent is something that is very, very close to our hearts. It's in our company's DNA. And we want people to grow with Oberoi rather than grow elsewhere. And the third reason is if you want to create shareholder value, then growth is an important criteria for creating shareholder value.
So if I just want to make sure I get that. So you want to have a network of properties because it helps with building loyalty, which reduces the cost of customer acquisition. You have it's important for developing your talent at your company because you have it boosts career retention if you can give employees more options. And then you said shareholder value,
yeah,
right?
Shareholder value.
Thank you.
And our vision for 2030 is to expand both the Oberoi brand and the Trident brand. We'd like to open 50 hotels by 50 new hotels by 2030. So that's what we all focused on delivering.
Cool. So 50 hotels by 2030. So that you currently have nearly 4,300 room keys. So you're actually going to be doubling the number of room keys under management within only 6 years. So that's a quite significant change.
And some of the hotels will be smaller. One of the things that we're working on is, and we've got an internal name for it, which is Oberoi Nature. That won't be the final branding, but these are smaller hotels in beautiful locations, have a strong sense of place, and all our research on guests tell us that that is something that they would deeply value. And so these will be much smaller hotels.
Smaller hotels, and then maybe helping to develop little destinations that may be lesser known.
Or... Yeah, and also help drive. You know, we I sometimes feel our rates in India are should be much higher, and I'd urge all our colleagues to drive rates up. Because you have amazing hotels, whether it's, you know, it's Taj, it's Lira, it's Oberoi. Our hotels are world-class in India. And if you compare us to hotels in other parts of the world, our rates are very, what's the right word, are often fantastic value for money, in fact, beyond that. So there's an opportunity to catch up with the rest of the world on rates.
Okay. Well, let's build a little bit on that. So Oberoi Group right now, in terms of demand and for inbound traffic, you have, if I look across the Oberoi Group, across all of the brands, it's about two-thirds domestic occupancy, one-third international. And with all the airlift that hopefully will come in, that could rebalance back, you might have more international, 50-50 perhaps. In the past, the assumption would be that the inbound would help push up rates. But we're going to hear later today from my colleague Varsha Arora from Skift Research, she's going to put some numbers on this, but the rising affluence of the Indian traveler. Do you expect that actually, are your domestic guests actually paying a higher rate?
Sean, they absolutely. So when we look at the actual rates achieved for our domestic guests, vis-a-vis guests coming from other parts of the world, the rates in a particular hotel and vary from location to location, but our average room rates for our Indian guests is higher than it is for our overseas guests.
Higher for the domestic guests than
Correct.
For the overseas in leisure.
That's in leisure and also in our city hotels as well.
Oh, yeah. Fascinating. Yeah. And so what is it about, has there been, I guess, when you're thinking about Reliance Industries has been a long time shareholder since about 2010. I noticed in August that they had an announcement that they're doing something new. They're going to co-manage three properties with Oberoi Group. Is that something that you hope, if it goes well, that could blossom into a deeper relationship of co-managing?
Yeah. No, we have a very good relationship with Reliance. We have two members on our board who are from Reliance, and they are great advisors to us on the board. We'd like to grow that partnership from strength to strength, yes.
Okay. You are on the executive committee for the Hotel Association of India. And I'm wondering, you know, they always might have a wish list. They may not always get what they want. What is top of mind for you right now?
You know, I always say before we go to whether it's state or central governments, I think we should really appreciate where we are today. And I think I would have unanimous agreement from everybody. The key driver for business, whether it's leisure or business travel to hotels across India, is driven by economic prosperity. And India's made enormous strides in the last decade on economic growth. We're the largest growing economy today out of the developed economies. I think that is credit to many of the policies that have been introduced in India over the years. We've made enormous strides in infrastructure, airports, roads, et cetera. As a result of that, people come and stay at our hotels on both business and leisure. So I think that's number one. Number two, I would say, is that I think as an industry, we need to do more to really highlight how important hospitality or the tourism sector is in employment. We have a young population. People need jobs. If we're going to drive economic prosperity, job creation is very important. I think hotels and the tourism sector do very well in that regard. So I think we need to talk about that more and educate the larger community on the enormous employment generation that comes from our business. In terms of what we could look at for, I'll maybe cover state governments first. Some states have actually given hotels industry status, and there are many benefits with that. Lower property taxes, better tariffs for electricity, so there are cost savings on that. And I'd encourage more states to do that. And at a central level, EIH may not directly benefit as much from that.
EIH is the parent company. Is
our parent listed company. But I think if we want to drive growth in hotels and increase supply as India's demand grows, then giving infrastructure status to the industry would be important. You can borrow at lower rates. You have a longer duration to pay off your borrowings. And I think that will stimulate additional supply as well.
So the growth in infrastructure in the past decade has really helped the hotel business, but getting industry status and also helping with hospitality talent, those are key topics.
Yeah, I would say those that both at the state level and the central level. And HAI has been, along with other bodies, have been talking about this for many, many, many years.
Okay. So Oberoi Group punches above its weight, but it is still a small company in a sea of these global hospitality giants. You're in their shadows. And the major global hotel groups, they feel like they are going to inherit the earth. And I'm wondering, what are some tactics that you use in order to improve your competitive advantage? I know a few years ago you did a partnership with Mandarin Oriental, where you sort of have an exchange with your loyalty programs. What are some things like that you do to be creative?
Well, I think our focus really is not to be the biggest. That's not the playing field in which we play. And our focus is really to be the very best. And again, if I look at our key stakeholders, to offer the best service to our guests, both meaningful and personalized attention given from the heart of our people, and at least our belief and probably supported by data as well, is that guests, number one, appreciate that and are willing to pay a premium for that. So I think that's very important for us. And for our colleagues also, we invest huge amounts of money for the size of organization that we are on learning and development. We have the Oberoi Center of Learning and Development. In fact, I see many of my colleagues here, and hello to everybody who is from either with Oberoi today or has been with us previously. I see a number of familiar faces. And in order for us to attract and the best talent, the best way to do that is to give people a strong foundation that allows them to grow within Oberoi or outside of Oberoi. So we're very proud of the investments we make in human talent. That allows us also to attract the best talent as well. So I think that gives us a very strong foundation to really provide exceptional levels of service and really to be the very best we can. And we take guest feedback really to our hearts. Chairman Amaretus would, if people spoke to him, and many people here know him as well, and if they asked him, I went and stayed at your hotel, the first question, I had a very good stay, he'd tell me, what could we do better? What is it that we could do better? So that's really what drives us to give the best possible service and best possible experience to our guests. We're far from perfect, but we really strive for perfection.
So it's a virtuous circle of like the talent and the hospitality management feeding in, giving people career opportunities, but then that encourages them to provide the best level of service, and then it circles.
And Sean, what's very important, we are very detail orientated. We have very detailed standing operating procedures. But we, over and above that, we have our values, which we call our dharma. And we say to all our colleagues.
Your dharma.
We call it our dharma. Mm-hmm. So, and they're very simple principles, but we say you can do whatever you like, just follow our values. Don't do anything in violation of our values. And if you follow our values, you will always make the right decision, because no two guests are the same, no two situations are the same, but it's always important for us to do the right thing. And our values really guide all of us in taking those right decisions for our guests, for our colleagues, for everybody else.
Our CEO, Rafael Ali, says that culture eats strategy for breakfast. And so I think that's kind of...
I would strongly endorse that.
We have an audience question about accessibility. What is Oberoi's strategy on accessibility for affluent guests with disabilities beyond, you know, a handful of rooms for wheelchair users?
So, you know, we in fact, I'll take a step back again. What's very positive, it's been a development in India where the tourism department has laid down stringent standards for accessibility. And it's not only us, but the industry is following those standards. Anybody who comes to our hotel should be able to have a comfortable stay, should be able to go to all parts of the hotel. In fact, I was talking to somebody who was on crutches in London quite recently, and for a fairly long period of time, and he was telling me how difficult it was. And unless we really put ourselves in the shoes of those guests who have those restrictions on mobility, etc., we won't really understand that. So our endeavor is to allow our guests or to enable our guests to enjoy our hotels completely. And for that, you need accessibility.
Okay, fantastic. I wanted to sort of close a bit on a big picture question. So, I mean, our CEO, Rafat, he was mentioned at the beginning that India's stature on the global stage just seems to continue to rise. You know, from the outside, I'm based in Washington, D.C. The prominence, the spotlight, is it just keeps growing, and it seems very clear that if this is the Asia century, the second half of it, India could be the world's superpower. It is a path if the right steps are taken. So I'm wondering, as you look right now in the next 5-10 years, what excites you about India's story?
Well, I think one is, of course, the prosperity. India was a poor country. Poverty was widespread in India. There was a very small middle class. If you go back to post-independence of India, and that's significantly changed. And I think for any economy to have long-term prosperity, you need a strong middle class. And those numbers are growing phenomenally in India. And with that comes better education for children, greater propensity to spend, travel, experience the rest of the world. So I think all those are real positives. And one of the things that we do see in or at least this is my perception, is as people are traveling more and experiencing more, we as Indians are becoming more confident. And I think that's a good thing.
As Indians travel abroad, they feel more, they become more confident about themselves? Or?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And we're also a very proud nation. We're very proud of our country, of our heritage.
Rightfully so.
What we've achieved so far. And what I really like about us as a, and I'm not saying this is unique to India, but as Indians, we invest hugely in the education of our children. And whether that's somebody, I'll give you a really nice story. I was talking to a colleague who works at the Oberoi Mumbai, and he's been there for a number of years. He works in the restaurant. And we were just having a chat. And he said, oh, my daughter is now working in London. And he spent hugely in educating her. So we, as a community, really invest in our future, and our future are our children. And if we do that as a nation, we're going to benefit from that.
It's true. I mean, I see the India diaspora in the U.S., and they're able to, because the value of education, they're able to seize so many opportunities. It's just, that story really resonates for me. Yeah. Vikram, thank you so much.
Oh, no, my pleasure. Thank you, Sean.
Thank
you so much.
Cheers.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
This has been the Skift Podcast. Thank you for listening.